40 seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
In the first half, we had a few chances. I had a second chance myself that I should have finished as well. And the game should have been over and done by half time. But we caused a bit of pressure on ourselves. But at the end of the day, I thought we dug deep, defended well as a team, and got the 3 points that we massively deserved.
That's Raheem Sterling, whose brilliant 31st-minute goal gave Manchester City Football Club a massively deserved 1-0 road victory over Newcastle and a record-extending 18th win in a row in England's Premier League. Man City dominated the match at St. James's Park in Newcastle, England. The winning streak has propelled Manchester City 15 points ahead of its city rival, Manchester United, in the EPL standings. Many fans of top-flight English football say it's not a question of if Pep Guardiola's men will lift a fifth Premier League trophy, but when? The Spaniard Guardiola has been getting some fine performances from the 23-year-old Sterling, who now has 13 goals in the Premier League this season and 17 goals in all competitions. Raheem Sterling was asked if this has been the best season of his young career.
Yeah, most definitely, in terms of goal scoring. Probably had better seasons dribbling and stuff like that, but this is the most efficient I've been, and that's exactly what I want to do. To be efficient, there's no point dribbling if you're not helping the team.
That's Raheem Sterling, who definitely has been helping his Manchester City team on its record run in the English Premier League. In more Premier League news, the Reds of Liverpool have confirmed they've reached an agreement for the transfer of Virgil van Dijk from the Saints of Southampton for an undisclosed fee. Southampton, though, says the deal is a world record for a defender, and it's believed to be a $100 million move. The 26-year-old Dutch international will move to Liverpool on Monday, New Year's Day, when the transfer window opens. And Virgil van Dijk is very happy with the move. He wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "Delighted and honored to have agreed to become a Liverpool FC player. Today is a proud day for me and my family," wrote van Dijk, "as I join one of the biggest clubs in world football. I can't wait to pull on the famous red shirt for the first time and will give everything I have to try and help this great club achieve something special in the years to come." And van Dijk also thanked the players, fans, and officials at Southampton, saying he'll always be indebted to the club for giving him the opportunity to play in the Premier League. In African football news, Uganda has hired Frenchman Sébastien Desabre as the new head coach of the national team, nicknamed the Cranes. The 41-year-old Desabre signed a 2-year contract with the Federation of Uganda Football Associations, FUFA. He arrived in Kampala after leading Ismaili to a 5-0 win over El Raja in his final match in charge of the Egyptian club on Wednesday. His first task in Uganda will be to prepare a team of locally based players for the African Nations Championship, also called CHAN, which kicks off in Morocco January 13th. Speaking at his introductory news conference in Kampala, Coach Desabre said, and I quote, "I'm happy to be in Uganda to coach the Cranes, and I'm ready for the challenge to make millions of Ugandans happy." Desabre added, "I've worked for a long time in Africa, and I know a lot about African football. I'm ready to serve the Cranes." Well, the Cranes had been without a full-time coach since Milutin Micho Sredojevic terminated his contract over unpaid wages in July. Coach Micho led the Cranes to this year's Africa Cup of Nations final in Gabon, the first time the Ugandans qualified for African football's premier event since 1978. Uganda lost to Ghana and Egypt, both by 1-0 scorelines, and drew 1-1 with Mali at Gabon 2017 and did not advance out of its group. More African football news. It looks like 25-year-old defender Mohamed El Mounir will become the first Libyan to play in Major League Soccer. El Mounir signed with the Florida-based club Orlando City. He's set to move to Orlando City from Serbian champions Partizan Belgrade, pending receipt of his international transfer certificate and P1 visa. Orlando City's general manager Nicky Budalic says, and I quote, "Mohamed brings considerable experience in Europe and on the international stage. His great pace, ability on the ball, and defensive solidarity make him a nice fit for our squad. We can't wait to get him into camp." Mohamed El Mounir also has made 15 international appearances for Libya's national team and scored 3 goals. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Another VOA programming note, be sure to tune in to the Sunny Side of Sports on Monday, New Year's Day, for a knockout show. I'll be chatting with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, about some of the boxing highlights from 2017 and what we can expect in the ring in 2018. A New Year's Day boxing special on the Sunny Side of Sports. Please tune in. I also encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out my Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. In my latest blog post, I salute my former VOA colleague, Andrew Palcheski, who officially said goodbye to The Voice of America on December 22nd. Andrew worked on several different shows here at the VOA, but I think he had a special place in his heart for the Sunny Side of Sports. Andrew says he was able to pursue one of his sporting passions, tennis, on the show. One of my favorite Andrew moments was when he brought his Francis Tiafoe bobblehead to the studio and then asked Francis, one of the top young American tennis players, how does it feel to have your own bobblehead?
Having my own bobblehead the final night was unbelievable. a lot of people went and got it, so I hope I could live up to that, and hopefully people want to buy many more bobbleheads down the stretch.
World Team Tennis, Francis, maybe not as high stakes as life on the ATP Tour. Can you tell our VOA listeners what it's like to, before a big match against somebody like Roger Federer, what is it like in the locker room before you go out on the court against someone of Federer's status?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you got nerves, you got a lot of things going through your head, and obviously, you know the crowd's going to be packed, the crowd's going to be getting to you as a fan favorite pretty much wherever he goes. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just another match. There's a tournament every week. There's a chance to make a dent every week. So, you don't want to make a situation bigger than it needs to be. Just go out there, give your best stuff, and respect everyone and fear no one. That's pretty much one of my big mottos. And, because at the end of the day, they're trying to do the same thing as you, and that's win. So, give you your best stuff and just leave it all out there.
When you're approaching a match, and I'm sure you must have some friends on the tour, are you talking with them beforehand? I mean, if, say, you're going up against somebody like Jack Sock, would you talk to him before the match? Maybe, hey, what did you have to eat last night or something like that? Or, more casual conversation? Or is it you're just focused on the match at hand?
Yeah, I mean, me and Jack's probably one of my best friends on tour, him and Kyrgios, and a lot of the younger guys. A lot of guys on tour, pretty to themselves, pretty locked in 24/7, not much personality going on with them, but, they're there for a job, and I respect it. But, I'm a pretty laid-back guy, and, a lot of the guys that will talk to me before I play, I will. If they don't, then that's also fine, but... for me, I'm usually with my team and just keep it relaxed, keep it chill, not too serious. And then as it gets closer to it, try to lock it in and go over the game plan and just kind of get ready to rock.
You're one of these young players who's very active on social media. How does that play into your game? Does it help you to stay grounded and connect with fans? Is it just another thing that you have to deal with and work on in addition to your play? How does that fit in to your life?
I just try to be as real as possible on social media. I'm not doing it for the fans. I just want to put out there like who I really am. Not just trying to impress anyone. Just putting up stuff that I think is fun and showing people that I'm just like them. I just know how to play tennis, and that's pretty much it.
Francis, little history lesson here. The Voice of America is celebrating the 75th anniversary of its very first broadcast. We broadcast all over the world, including Sierra Leone, where your parents are from. And before we came in the studio, you mentioned how you visited Sierra Leone. Do you have memories of that trip?
Yeah, about 10, 11 years ago, but yeah, I do. It was unbelievable to see that, to see where my parents really grew up, everything they had to go through to get through the States and blah blah blah. I was happy I got to see that. It was good for me and my brother to be in that environment. I just remember that having life in America is a great opportunity, and you never take that for granted, and respect everyone, and values go a long way. So we learned there's so many, I can go on and on, many lessons I learned from that trip, and that made me a better man today, and I'm always going to remember that. I plan on doing many things for that country down the stretch. Obviously, I work towards that. You play for way more than yourself. It's bigger than tennis. Trying to inspire, kids there, kids all around in the States. So that's what I'm trying to do.
What about Davis Cup? Is that part of your plan of, you know, playing for your country?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, I was obviously love to hold the Davis Cup trophy. I think you know, those events are huge. You know, we get a good team behind us, and we get a win. That'll be huge for American tennis. Obviously, you know, stop you know, the doubt with American fans and saying that, you know, this, that, and the other. But yeah, I mean, whenever my ranking is high enough, I'll definitely be on Davis Cup ties, that's for sure.
2017 brought you a lot of great moments. It's the highest your ranking has been so far, and very early in your career. You went those five sets with Roger Federer. You beat Alexander Zverev at the Cincinnati Masters. What are the goals for 2018? Obviously, you want to win, but are there any particular tournaments you're looking at, or maybe a specific number that you want to be at as far as rankings?
I want to be around in the 30s, if not top 30, by the end of next year. I'm, you know, 70-something now, and I think, you know, I think when I'm playing my best, I can beat anyone. I feel comfortable playing anyone on tour. There's no match I walk into that I don't think I can win. But yeah, I mean, the Pacific tournaments I'm going to look at is slams, trying to go in the second week of slams and the thousands. I mean, every event, every week is big, but you know, the bigger events, I really want to make a dent there, because I've obviously, you know, I've beaten the very few three in the world, and you know, just I've had a ton of great matches against high caliber players. So again, you know, those big events are, you know, where a lot of money is, and where obviously, you know, a lot of points are. So that's where you want
to
peak.
Anything you would like to say to our listeners in Sierra Leone or across Africa?
No, really, just I'm out here, you know, competing for you guys every day in, day out, you know, putting in day in, day out for you guys, and I plan to do many things for you guys. So keep following me, and I'll be putting in for you guys.
Francis Tiafo, thank you for visiting with us at VOA.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
And that interview with Francis Tiafo was broadcast earlier this year on the Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us once again on the show is sports reporter Dan Friedel. Sporty seasonal greetings, Dan.
Thanks, Sonny. Glad to be here as we turn the corner on 2017 and look forward to 2018. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Dan. Well, the Associated Press has given a Happy New Year to a baseball player and a swimmer. These AP Athlete of the Year awards are very much tilted towards American athletes. The awards are voted on annually by a panel of AP sports editors from across the United States. The AP Male Athlete of the Year for 2017 is Venezuelan second baseman Jose Altuve of the World Series champion Houston Astros. And the AP Female Athlete of the Year, American swimmer Katie Ledecky. Ladies first, Dan. What do you think of Ledecky? Your thoughts?
Well, I like to say that I discovered her in 2012. I did a couple of stories for a local newspaper and for an ESPN publication about high school age athletes who were outstanding in their sport. About Katie Ledecky, as she was just about to qualify for the Olympics, going into the U.S. Olympic trials ahead of the Olympics in London, where, of course, she shocked everybody by winning a gold medal in her signature freestyle event. And she's just gone on to be even better every single year, which is really incredible. I mean, I think about myself when I was her age, just getting used to my life at my new university, living away from home for the first time. And I had trouble waking up in time to go to class. And here she is. She is getting up in time for school and getting up in time for her practices and winning international swimming competitions all at the same time. It's really remarkable to see how well she's done as she's moved into adulthood.
Ledecky, only 20 years old, Dan. Do you think she can perhaps maybe approach the record of someone like Michael Phelps, or is that just out of her league, so to speak?
I think the only problem with that is that she is not the kind of swimmer that Phelps was, where he was able to be internationally competitive in a number of different strokes. Ledecky's primary level, high level of competition is in the freestyle. She's trying to move into some of the shorter distances, but her true signature are the long-distance freestyle races. And there just aren't enough of those opportunities for her to win 8 gold medals in one Olympics. Like Phelps had the chance to win with the different relays and being a part of the individual medley and the medley relay, that sort of thing. So, I mean, Ledecky has an opportunity to be perhaps number one or number two in Olympic history for the Summer Olympics because she's so young. I know that some of the best women's athletes in endurance sports, like long-distance running or Olympic-level cycling, have been close to 40 years old. She could keep swimming for another 20 years and racking up medals. You never know.
Jose Altuve, the spark plug for the Houston Astros. Your thoughts on Altuve being named the 2017 AP Male Athlete of the Year, Dan?
Looking at his season and the most recent few seasons for Altuve, there's not a big difference between his numbers on the field in 2017, 2016, 2015. He's set a high standard for himself as one of the most explosive offensive players in baseball. I think the combination of the Astros winning the World Series just on the heels of Houston getting really devastated by the hurricane just a few weeks before, the combination of things, the sort of the spirit of Altuve lifting up the spirit of the city, made for this combination that was really endearing to the voters. But if you look at Altuve's numbers, he's putting together a run of, you know, three or four of the most exciting seasons for an infielder in the history of Major League Baseball, and he seems like he's only getting better. So he might not be the Male Athlete of the Year in 2018, but he surely will be one of the most exciting baseball players in 2018.
Dan, at the top of the show, we heard from Raheem Sterling, who has been one of the spark plugs, so to speak, for Manchester City Football Club. Just an incredible winning streak right now in the Premier League. 18 wins in a row for Man City, their latest a 1-0 road victory over Newcastle. Your thoughts on Man City's record run?
Well, I was looking at an analysis of the remaining part of the season in the Premier League that basically said Manchester City will have to go on one of the worst losing streaks in soccer history for them to give up the Premier League title. Even if they win one and lose one the rest of the way, it'll take a big run by Manchester United to overtake them. Manchester City is putting together a season for the ages, and, you know, it's different than what we saw a couple of years ago with Leicester City and their worst-to-first run, you know, just a couple years after being on the verge of relegation, winning the Premier League. Manchester City is one of these teams in the last decade or so that has been one of the outstanding teams from the Premier League that seems to almost every year get a berth in the Champions League. But they're doing something exceedingly special in any kind of sport. I mean, to think about what they're doing, you'd have to look at, for example, in American sports, a National Football League team winning every game leading into the Super Bowl, similar to what the New England Patriots tried to do about a decade ago before they lost in the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. So it'll be interesting to see how Manchester City keeps up that performance in 2018. I know their manager was saying they have a tough sequence of games coming up. But I think the thing you have to look at is how well-balanced that team is. You know, they're not getting scoring from just one player. They're not just getting assists from one player. They're spreading the load among their top five or six offensive players. And obviously that puts a lot of pressure on the other teams to perhaps get out of their comfort zone. So look for Manchester City, I would say, to keep on winning. It's really been impressive, and I'm sure it will continue.
Dan Friedel. Dan, we look forward to chatting with you more in 2018.
Have a happy New Year, Sonny. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan. And that wraps up the December 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton.
I get it.
And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Lack of inexpensive, reliable energy delivery is one of the chief obstacles to growth and development in sub-Saharan Africa. Nearly 70% of people living in the region lack access to electricity, forcing them to spend significant amounts of their income on costly and unhealthy forms of energy, such as diesel fuel to run generators and kerosene for lanterns. But if there is one thing Africa is not lacking, it is sunshine, and that means a lot. Indeed, for some of the world's poorest people, it makes all the difference in the world. A little more than a year ago, Power Africa, a U.S. government initiative coordinated by the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and Power Africa's partners, the United Kingdom Department for International Development, Shell Foundation, and the African Development Bank, launched the Scaling Off-Grid Energy Grand Challenge for Development, with a focus on pay-as-you-go solar home systems. The challenge's goal is to provide 20 million off-grid households in sub-Saharan Africa with clean, affordable electricity by 2030. So far, the challenge has made 40-plus investments in early-stage, off-grid energy companies, which are expected to result in some 4.8 million new electrical connections. One reason for the success of the startup companies that have won grants from the challenge is the fact that the cost of solar technology is falling fast, so it is within the means of those who live away from traditional power grids. And thanks to the new system of mobile money and pay-as-you-go financing, they can purchase the solar power generating equipment they need and pay for it in daily installments from their telephones for as little as 15 cents a day. Thanks to these technological and financial innovations, many people are getting electricity for the first time every day. In these newly electrified communities, business can flourish, clinics may safely store vaccines, and students may study long after dark. Indeed, access to clean and reliable electricity can enable entire communities to escape the cycle of extreme poverty. The Scaling Off-Grid Energy Grand Challenge for Development Partnership, solar technology, and companies that bring light and electricity to off-the-grid homes and businesses are revolutionizing daily life for millions of people in sub-Saharan Africa.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Mpoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.
Are you wandering around lost in a musical desert? Well, follow your ears to the fantastic, the one and only African Music Mix on The Voice of America. Bathe yourself in this musical oasis. From the north to the south and from the east to the west, the African Music Mix plays only the best.
Yes, sir. Tune in at 200, 300, 1200, and 1500 UTC GMT. Every day, right here on VOA Africa.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.